linebacker, and a man of leisure.
This doesn't even make sense.
You're listening to Bishop and Laurinaitis.
Indeed you are on a Thursday edition. Time to head on to the Bryant Heating and Cooling Systems fan guest hotline. Our buddy Austin Ward, Letterman Road, joining us. Austin, let's just start with the last week or so in college football. We had these big tests spike, obviously, at Clemson and Kansas State and Alabama and all of this. We haven't had any at Ohio State at this point, at least none that's been reported. And it appears that everything's going pretty well there. I go back and forth if it's good to get it now or not. I don't even know what to make of this stuff. It's hard to make sense of it. Where are you on it in terms of, as we sit here, June 25th, a little more than a month away from what would be camp?
Yeah, I'm glad you specified that, Bo. It kind of depends on the hour and the day. I mean, this has been,
right,
as you said, the last week has kind of been a wild swing of emotions. And when you see what happened at Clemson, or then, you know, the explanation for what happened at Kansas State, where, you know, a couple guys just go out to a party because they're college kids and that's what college kids do. And then, you know, they went from 0 to 14 or whatever it was almost overnight. You think, wow, how is this really going to work? I do think that it is better that it's happening now in this sense, and that is, look, players are going to want to do stuff. I get that. But if you have a positive test, whether you are feeling asymptomatic and completely fine or not, you're going to miss two games. Okay, so I think that this would be a reminder for teams that if they want to win a championship, if they are trying to get to the NFL, you know, you're probably going to have to make some sacrifices in the season, not put yourself out at the bar, not put yourself out at parties. And I'm not telling them that that's how they have to live their life. You know, if I was that age, that would be really tough for me to get it. You know, when you're 19, you feel bulletproof, you want to go have fun. But you have to put that in the perspective of what you want to accomplish as a football player. We all have to make those choices. And, you know, I think Ohio State so far, I think they're 2 weeks into this. I still am told that there have not been any positive tests on the football team. But that can change really quickly if you make one mistake. So I think that this is a useful reminder for the administrators, for the coaches. It's useful for the players. Look, there's going to be positive tests in the season. It's going to happen. There's going to be cancellations and forfeits for teams this year. That's just going to happen. If Clemson had 23 guys come down with a test 1 week, they're not going to play a game. They might not play two games. But all of this is much better to learn how to deal with it and adapt on June 25th than September 5th.
Austin, Bo and I were talking about Michigan last segment and about how they lost one of their in-state linemen down to LSU. And
yeah,
in a nutshell, that's not terrible. We've lost a lineman to Clemson, right? When you look at the big picture and you are chasing Ohio State and the level of efficiency that Ohio State has recruited at, you can't afford any room for error, right? You can't afford that if you're Michigan.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, we've talked about them abandoning Ohio. They have two Ohio kids. I want to know, did we offer those two three-star kids that are going there? Because really, if not, of course you need to fill it with three-star, four-star Ohio kids, but you need to steal one from Ohio State if you're Michigan,
right,
don't you? And is there anyone still in the recruiting trail right now that both schools are going after to where Michigan could get a win if they're able to, say, beat Ohio State on the trail for that guy?
Yeah, there are a couple kids. I think Berm is more in tune with this stuff for us at Letterman Road than I am, but I know that there's a lineman that both schools are involved in that'll come down to the wire, and it's one where Michigan could get a win. I think the ones that are already committed that you referenced, James, those were not, to my understanding, players that were really priorities for Ohio State and guys that they were recruiting or counting on. And I think what's really puzzling, you know, from that perspective is that if you're coming into this state, like you said, it needs to be a big time battle. It needs to be someone that the Big Ten champions, the team that's dominated the rivalry, it needs to be someone they want if you're going to try and beat them. I know that Michigan State for a long time used that, you know, under the radar diamonds in the rough, you know, D'Antonio would know what he wanted and could pluck a couple out, but those kids were almost always at least on the radar for Ohio State. And I just can't determine what the actual plan is for Michigan. They're going to a bunch of guys on the East Coast and Connecticut and Massachusetts. And, you know, good luck to you if that's the way that you're going to try and build a winner. There's just not enough talent there. And we've had the same conversation about Ohio State recruiting, right? Do they have enough Ohio kids? Do they understand the rivalry? Are they committed to staying long-term? what's the right balance of national and local? I know that Michigan doesn't have the same number of, you know, really elite recruits as Ohio does just within the state. But if you can't keep the kids from your backyard who want to try and turn the tide against the Buckeyes, guess what? It's probably not ever going to happen. And I think the other big difference is that Michigan seems to accept that right now, and that Jim Harbaugh is doing enough, and, you know, they have no problems even though they can't get these signature wins. When Jackson Carman left for Clemson, people freaked out and wanted to fire Greg Studrawa. I mean, that's the big right. There are a ton of differences between the two programs right now, but it starts right there with the recruiting and the expectations that your program and your fans and the players all have for themselves. And I don't, you know, sitting from where I'm sitting, I don't think that Michigan values it at the same level that Ohio State, and that's clear on the field in November.
Yeah, Austin, I think they're kind of punting on it. It's kind of the feeling I get from Michigan people. They're kind of punting on the rivalry. They're like, well, we're not going to beat them anytime soon, so let's not worry about it. And they push it to other things. That's kind of the way which is sad, because it can't be the greatest rivalry in all of sports if one of the teams isn't on par. You both have to be great for it to be that. Let me ask you about this. Did you get a chance to read Nicole Auerbach's piece in The Athletic today in terms of kind of moving the goalposts on what a season looks like, and some interesting comments about Hancock, about how they're still going to meet in person in Dallas, which is just insane to me to do that, and not necessary. But beyond that, that they would maybe even look at a minimum amount of games played. Buddy, the fact that they're talking about this means that athletic directors are talking about this in terms of a much shortened, truncated season. What are you hearing on this front? Did anything jump out at you in that piece?
Yeah, I think that some of this stuff is validating what I referenced the last time I was on with you guys. And really, it's been, you know, since March, we've been talking about this. Like, okay, I think the Big Ten has been aware that, you know, that you're going to have to make changes. And they started talking about a 10-game conference-only schedule pretty early on. I do not, as I sit here right now, believe that there will be non-conference games, and that Oregon-Ohio State game is not going to happen this year. Now, again, they still have a week or two to decide what they want to do, and the picture keeps changing. But I hear this over and over, no non-conference games. You know, the big hurdle that they're trying to get to, and Nicole referenced this, and Gene Smith has talked about this as well with me, that you have to get everybody to decide what the playoff and postseason criteria would look like. And so that's, you have the SEC. They want to play the schedule completely as is. They think they're going to have full stadiums. Phil Fulmer said that yesterday for Tennessee. That's even crazier than meeting face-to-face for Tennessee right now. But they still think that they're going to be able to play every game. So you have to have, you say, hey, Big 10, Big 12, they're probably thinking 9 to 10 conference games. Let's agree that there's got to be something across the board, that this is the amount of games everybody has to play. Because you look at what's happening with Rutgers, I bring them up almost every time. I feel bad for them, but they're the team that's going to get chopped. Pun not intended there for Greg Schiano, but happened with the mandatory quarantine, if you're going into those states, like, I'm sorry, you can't play football in that way. And maybe they'd grant exceptions or whatever, but those games are going to be cut. There's going to be cancellations. And the worst part about that, when I read it, is trying to build in that extra week before a potential conference championship game. And then, you know, we talked about diminishing the rivalry with the Michigan side. What if there's a game that gets moved and is played after Ohio State, Michigan? That would just be really, you know, kind of strange and bizarre. But that's going to be the theme for this year. A lot of changes are going to happen, and this is going to be a bizarre year. And it's hard to even wrap your mind around all the things that are going to be different, from fans, cancellations, forfeits, you know, trying to stand, don't even shake hands at a coin toss, all the way down to that. I mean, this is going to take thousands of decisions, and it's an awful lot of work. But the only thing I know for sure is that they're all committed to making sure that it happens in some form.
Boy, I'm exhausted just thinking about it, Austin.
I mean, I know. Honestly, it's overwhelming.
I mean, a month ago we're talking about spring seasons, maybe. Then 2 weeks ago you're thinking, oh gosh, maybe fans, you know, maybe 50,000 fans. Who knows? This thing's great. And then 2 weeks later you're like, well, maybe we should stop talking about fans. I mean,
right.
I don't even know. It seems like every day this thing is changing, man. And have you heard, like, what – I guess my question is, obviously no one has tested positive here. My biggest thing is we just don't know. You're not a doctor, so it's the wrong person to ask probably. But just with, you know, if someone – they're getting all these tests back negative. How often, again, are they testing these players? Is it just once? Is it every few times a week? Do you know how often they're testing these guys up at the Woody?
Right now, I don't think that it's very frequent, and that's going to be the next issue that you have to determine because, you know, I think mainly, and I don't know specifically what Ohio State is doing, but I've talked to other people around college football, and you're trying to play a waiting game where if somebody has symptoms, then you test. So since they all came in clean, a negative test, you know, yeah. You don't really need, from their perspective, to do it every single day unless something pops up and then you start contact tracing and other things of that sort. But the question then becomes, when are you going to do it in the season? Are you going to try it? Because you're probably going to need to do it weekly, right? Most likely. Are you going to do it on Thursday and then find out the next day that you have your entire defensive line can't play? Or, you know, are you going to try and roll the same dice and not test and just hope for the best? That's pretty unlikely that college football would go down that road. And then how much are you willing to spend? Because this is another – so my head is spinning, James, just talking about this again, but it costs a lot of money. So yeah. Ohio State can afford to test as much as they want. Like, that's going to be in the budget. But, again, just to use the same example, Rutgers cannot. They don't have the money to devote to regular weekly testing. And this is another example of how difficult it's going to be for 130 teams because the playing field is just not going to be even when it comes to monitoring their health. And it's crazy, but there are thousands of things that they have to work through to pull this off. And it's just you're probably going to be doing it all by the seat of your pants and coming up with new stuff every week. And that's, you know, that's going to make it really difficult for all of us in the media to break down every game, but if you're committed to playing, those are all the things that you're going to have to deal with.
God. Can't wait to have you on next time, buddy. And who knows what we'll be talking about then. Our good buddy Austin Ward, Ledward Rowe. Thanks, pal. Appreciate you.
All right. Yeah, thanks, guys. See ya.